Well, hello, Open Arms. How are you today? This is one of my last, well, it is my last Sunday here with you for Erica and I as we move off to the States just in over a week's time. And I just want to say thank you to everyone because I've been here now since 2016. And when I moved from England, God was taking me through a restorative process. And I particularly want to thank PJ, our founding pastor, and Elizabeth because of their help during those early days and just getting me on a right path. And, you know, even though we say goodbye, it isn't really goodbye because we always remain family. It's just a case of part of that family is relocating somewhere else. So please do stay in touch on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram and all the other ways. That'd be amazing. And I just want to say thanks also to Sean and Gillian for allowing us just to be part of the ministry team here, just to be able to speak into the life of the church and just to have the privilege of being part of this great church and seeing it grow over the last few years. So are you ready for the final message that I will give you as part of Open Arms Church? I hope you are. Let me start with a little story. Way back in 2016, back end of 2016, I was chatting to PJ. We were talking, you know, and it was he decided he would give me a little bit of gentle advice, as he does. He would say, Darren, come here. And so I came here, and he gave me a little bit of advice, and he said, Darren, you've been single for quite a while now. And, you know, well, the Bible says it's not good for a man to be alone. I said, PJ, I'm quite happy, just watching my Sky Sports, doing my thing with Compassion, going out, speaking. He said, well, you need to have a think about that. So over the Christmas period, 2016, coming into 2017, I just prayed to God about that. And actually, I had a bit of a conversation with God where I was saying, God, I really don't want to do that. I'm not interested in that at all. I just think I like the single life. But if you want something different for me, then okay. But if you do want something different for me, then the sort of lady that I want, she'd have to be about the same age as me. She doesn't want to have any children, no issues, nothing going on. It has to be like this. And I just felt the Spirit of God speak to me quietly. Now, it wasn't out loud, but just in my heart, just say, oh, you don't want much, do you? And I said, but these are all the things I'm not interested in, God. So if you think you can change my mind, you go for it. But I'm pretty stubborn. What I realized is this, that when you give God an inch, he'll take a mile. And as I was praying over the coming weeks of January and into early February, I found my heart start to change and in my attitude to what God was saying to me about my future and whether I would have a future wife and who she would be and what that would look like. Anyway, a few days later, I had a call from a church leader and he said, Darren, can we meet up? I'd like you to come and speak to my church about the ministry of compassion so we can partner with you. And he said, there's going to be some different leaders there. And one of those leaders there is Erica. I think you've met her before. Now, I had met her before at a different conference. In fact, I was a little bit cheeky one time when I'd flown over from England before I was living in Ireland. And I said to her, hey, well, when I'm over, do you fancy going out on a date? She just ignored me. She didn't answer my calls or anything like that at all. So I turn up at this meeting with this pastor. And Erica is there as part of the church leadership team. And she's just down the end of the table, just eating her chips and burger, seeming a little bit disinterested. And so I arrange with the pastor to speak in his church. And on the way out, I say, Erica, so great to see you again. And I hope you're getting on well. God bless you. And I got in my car and I drove home. I went home, sat on my sofa, put the news on, flicking through my Instagram and different things. And then this WhatsApp message comes up. And it was from Erica. And it said, hey, Darren, so good to see you tonight and really looking forward to the partnership that our church is going to have with Compassion. Oh, and by the way, I'm free if you fancy a coffee or anything in the next coming weeks. So I thought to myself, is she wanting me to ask her out on a date? And so I prayed and I fasted about it all for about 5 minutes. And then I text her and I said, yeah, when would you like to go out? And we went out on the following Friday. Now time moved on. And we got engaged, and after, you know, 3 or 4 dates, we were engaged, and we decided we were going to get engaged, but she wasn't messing around, and she said to me, Darren, I know you've got adult children, but would you consider having children with me? And I said, well, we'll have to go to a doctor, that might be quite difficult, just different circumstances, we'll have to find out. So we went to the Rotunda IVF clinic, and they said that we could, and we'd start that process, and it costs a lot of money. And I remember in that process, I'd walk along the beach, and I would say, God, I agree to do this, but I'm not really sure that I want to. I just felt the Spirit of God just say to me quietly, Darren, you agreed, and you said that you knew, you know that what I want for you is best. And I said, yeah, God, I love Erica, and I just want to do this. And we went through that process, and it didn't quite work out. And when we were told that Erica wasn't pregnant, we tried again a couple of times. But I remember such disappointment coming over me. And perhaps you've felt that sort of disappointment too, where you've asked God for something and it's not come to plan. And I want to say to you that today that sometimes we ask God for things and it doesn't always happen for us. And so it makes us scared to ask him again. And so we pray the way that I prayed that first time, where we say, God, if you do, I don't mind doing your will, but as long as I've got control of this part of my life, because I don't want to be hurt there, I want control in that part of my life. And it reminds me of an old song, an old rock song. And many of you older ones will remember it. Some of you younger ones may need to look it up on YouTube, by a guy called Meatloaf. And it said this, I will do anything for love, but I won't do that. And I felt that's like I've been with God sometimes. I would say, God, I will do anything for you. I will do your will, but I won't do that. And I wonder if that's the same for you. Why don't we look at the scripture right now and see what God has to say about that. In Matthew 6, verses 5 to 13, it says this, and when you pray, this is Jesus speaking, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts or our sins, as we forgive our debtors or those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, I'm guessing that most of you, if you're like me today, the hardest part of that prayer is the one that I talked about earlier on, where it says, your kingdom come and your will be done. Why? Because I want my own way. Even though I say I want to forgive, I really want to hold on to, I don't want to hold on to that grudge. I sort of do. And I want to justify myself and the way that I think, especially about that other person. But there are some keys in this scripture that if we commit to doing it the way that Jesus, the Son of God, has asked us to do it, how to pray to our Heavenly Father, because he knows what's good for us, then we will unlock the door to a prayer that is tremendously powerful and transformational. So there's a couple of things I want to say to you just before we get right into it. The first thing is this, prayer always works. Now in our culture, I doubt anyone is going to be praying on the street corner out loud. But get this, if we pray correctly, there is a reward. The Bible says that when you go into the room, into a room alone, where you have nothing to prove, you pray to your Father who is unseen, and he sees you in secret. Now, really, that should be enough, that the God of all heaven sees us in secret. That should be enough. But it isn't the only thing. It says that he rewards us when we pray this way. Why? Because this is the real deal. We're not trying to bend God's arm. We don't have to be super fervent in our prayers. We're not trying to convince God to give us that beautiful woman, the big house, the amazing car. We're not going to be babblers shouting impressive prayers in front of other people. But I have a question for you today before we get into this prayer. How big is your God? Another question. Do you think he knows what's best for you and me? We know that he knows what we need before we even ask. So I guess we could even say, what's the point of asking? We can't faith God up. It's not some magical formula. It's a model and a pathway to discover the greatness of God in our lives. So let's look at this prayer. And there are five things I want to show you from this prayer today, really simple things. And you may know some of them already, but go with me on it. How does it start, this prayer? It says, he is our perfect Father. He is majestic and eternal. This is how it starts. Our Father. It's so intimate and yet so majestic. Let's think for a moment about who we are talking to. We're talking to our Creator. He is eternal. He has no beginning or no end. I just want you to imagine just for a moment or so what it's like with no beginning and no end. Just think for a moment. We can't even comprehend it. And yet he invites us and says to call him Father. Now, I know for some of us, that's really difficult because our earthly fathers weren't really a great example. And it makes us want to shut off. But I want to say to you right now, our Heavenly Father is different. He is so much different to that. We can trust him. We can know that he has our best intentions and our best interests at heart, and he has the authority. So when you pray this prayer, our Father, who art in heaven, the next time you pray that prayer, just dwell in that place for a moment. Dwell in that place. Think of his majesty, of his greatness, and of his goodness. Because when you do, it gives you a different perspective, a heavenly perspective, and you'll start to see things the way that God does as you pray. The next part of the prayer is the difficult one I've already mentioned. Your kingdom come, your will be done. The second thing I want to say to you is this. Before we get to us in this prayer, we must surrender to him. Not my kingdom, God, but yours, regardless of what happens to me. In other words, I am more committed to your will than I am to my own. God, I'm not trying to bend you to my direction, to my desires, to my wants in my prayers, but I'm asking you to bend me to your direction. You see, the purpose of prayer is to surrender our will and not impose it. Another question for you. What impact on your world will you have when you submit wholly to God? You see, we have to pray, your will be done, and mean it. Or there's no point in going on in this prayer. It just becomes like babbling. And then when we do pray and really want his will to be done, then we get to the reward. Do you know what the reward is? It's peace. I know you might say, hey, Darren, peace. Is that all I get? Just think about it for this in this season. If you can just feel the peace of God in every situation, then you'll feel in a much better place. You'll know that God has everything in control. The third thing I want to mention to you from this scripture, from this prayer, is this, that after that, after we've prayed, before we get into this place and we surrender to him, the third thing is, then we get to pray about us and what we need. God knows that we need to pray about us. He knows we can't wait to pray about us and what we need. And so he advises us, pray this way, give us this day our daily bread. What? My daily bread? I want a little bit more than that. What I found out during COVID and Brexit is that when I put my Tesco order in, I can't even get my naan bread for my curry. What's going on there? God, I need more than that. Why can't I get all these different products? But God promises us that he will give us our daily bread because he knows That's what we need. Think back to the people of Israel that were walking around in the wilderness for all of those years. And he gave them manna, bread, and he gave them meat. And it was a miracle that happened every day. It came from heaven and it was there for them when they came out of their tents. And yet they got fed up with the miracle that God was providing for them. Friends, at the end of it all, we just have to ask him for what we need, not for what we want. I mentioned to you earlier on, as you know, Erica and I are moving to the States just a week from now. And I said, I'm not moving to the States unless I've got a full-time job and it's well paid with a pension and all the rest of it and it's all working out. And then a job came up and it was part-time. And I looked at it and I just felt this prompting to apply for it. And I applied for it and within a week, they offered me the role. And I thought, this isn't going to meet everything that I need and want. But then God started to speak to me and say, Darren, it is going to meet your need. I'm giving you a little foot in the door. Will you trust me that I've got your future set up for you? I want to ask you that question. Will you trust God that he's got your future set up for you? He wants to show you how much he loves you. That's why he's in the process of setting you up, knowing that it's not anything that you did, but it's everything that he did. So many times we talk about God coming and arriving at the last minute. But when I read through scriptures, I often think he doesn't even turn up at the last minute. He turns up after midnight, when it seems to be impossible. Think about Jairus' daughter that had already died. Think about Lazarus that was already in the tomb. Think about the woman who was mourning at her son's funeral, and it seemed too late. And then Jesus came, and he just showed God's glory in all of its ways. You see, God wants all the glory to go to him, not because he needs it, but because we need it to be that way. We need a big God. We need a big God. The fourth thing that I want to show you from this prayer is the thing I would call that forgiving thing. You know, that bit we find really hard. We find this bit maybe a little bit easier. Forgive me my sins. Lord, forgive me my sins. Now, I know that when I asked Jesus into my life, I asked him to forgive me of all of my sins, all of the past. But I know because he is eternal, he is not living inside my time, but he is eternal, that he knows the sins I'll commit today and in the future, and he's forgiven me of everything. But it doesn't give me a pass. You see, every day I commit little sins by thought or by deed. And so just like we every day, hopefully all of us take a shower, as the day goes on, we may get a little dirty and we need to clean ourselves. We need to wash our hands. And it's the same with our relationship with God. Forgive me of my sins, Lord. I want to live right for you. Just cleanse me right now. But then there's another part to this. It says, as I forgive those who sin against me. When I pray this part, I have to realize it's connected to the other part. Forgive me my sins as I forgive those who sin against me. And when I pray that part of the prayer, I often end up thinking of someone. Someone comes to mind and I remember because they were particularly angry with me. And that made me really angry because I wanted to defend myself. And then I realized after some time, it wasn't immediately, that maybe they were angry and it wasn't about me. Maybe something that was going on in their own life. Friends, let me say to you today, life is too short to hold grudges. And it's up to us to make sure we don't get eaten up by that. The other person is probably not even giving you a thought or that situation a thought. So as it says in that wonderful film, let it go. Just let it go. The fifth thing I want to say to you about this prayer is this. I have no intention to sin. It says this, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Like you, I am not intending to sin against God or anyone else. But because of my human nature, I know I need God's help because I will. So this is not just about the past, this prayer, but it's also about the future. It's not a get out prayer to say, I'm just going to commit whatever sins I want, and then I'll ask God to forgive me of those sins when I've been tempted. But it's more a prayer of protection. God, I'm praying for wisdom so that you will help me to escape the snare of sin. Let me give you a couple of examples. Can you remember a time when someone invited you to do something or be part of something that you knew really wasn't good? Or a time you wanted to say your piece, you wanted to say what you really thought and put someone in their place, and a still small voice in your mind and in your heart stopped you? How did you feel afterwards because you didn't react? I would suggest that was your conscience, the God consciousness in you, the Spirit of God speaking to you and saying, as he influences your life, saying to you, no, don't say that thing. Refrain from saying that thing now. We need to pray to escape sin. Now, I know what you're thinking. I tried, Darren, but I just can't do this on my own. But the thing is, you don't have to. The Bible tells me in Romans 8, verse 11, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Think about that. The Spirit of God that raised Christ from the dead is living in you. Don't you think that power can help you to overcome temptation and sin if it could raise the Son of God from the grave? You see, we're not doing it on our own, but we're doing it by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I love this saying, when we live by the power of the Holy Spirit living in us, we live a lot better by accident than we ever could on purpose. Stop trying to do it in your own strength, but trust in God and submit to him, and he will give that power in you to do that. Friends, this prayer is not just a conversation with God. We have conversations with God, and they're good to have those. But this is more than that. It's a roadmap to getting our hearts and our minds set on him, getting our thinking and our attitude right. It's about conditioning ourselves for the greatness he desires for us, not in ourselves, but in him. I know we each face our daily battles that we have to fight. But there's a story in the Old Testament where King Jehoshaphat is surrounded by many armies, and they look like they're going to destroy the people of Judah. And in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15, it says this. He said, listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Listen to King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Meatloaf sang a song. So often we sing the same song or something similar. Lord, I'll do anything for you, but I won't do that. This prayer helps us because we often see God in the way that he really is. He is almighty. He is eternal. He is a loving father. He knows what's best for us. Just as I bring this message to a close, I want to just share one other story with you from the scripture. And I believe it's really going to encourage you, especially in the situation that we find ourselves in right now. It's in Exodus chapter 14, verses 1 to 4. The children of Israel have escaped Pharaoh from Egypt, and he's chasing after them, and Moses is leading them. And God says something to Moses that seems really weird, and it doesn't seem like the best plan in the world. But this is what God said. He says in Exodus 14, verses 1 to 4, then the Lord gave these instructions to Moses, order the Israelites to turn back and camp by Pi-Hahiroth, having trouble saying that, between Migdol and the sea. Camp there along the shore across from Baal-Zephon. Then Pharaoh will think the Israelites are confused. They are trapped in the wilderness. And once again, I will harden Pharaoh's heart and he will chase after you. I have planned this in order to display my glory through Pharaoh and his whole army. After this, the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites camped there as they were told. Now they complained about it and they felt trapped. They were like, why don't you get us back to Egypt? It was much better there. We could live this way, we could do that. But God had another plan. They had the Red Sea to their back. They had Pharaoh coming the other way, and it looked like they were trapped. But I want to say to you today that our God is not a God of entrapment. He's not setting a trap for us. He's setting us up for something that's totally and utterly amazing. But what do we have to do? Just like the children of Israel did there, we have to submit our will to him. Then we will see his glory being displayed through us and in our lives. The other thing is, we'll have a legacy that lives long beyond our time here on earth. Do you want a legacy? We only have a short life here. We need to leave something that's eternal for God. And the best way of doing that is submitting him and knowing his will. Sometimes we sing a song just like Meatloaf. I will do anything for you, but I won't do that. Why do we sing that song? Because we think God won't give us what we want. You're right. He won't give us what we want. The reward is not what we want, but what we need. God wants to give us what we need. We have this one life. I believe it's full of purpose. Let's make it count. How better to do that than in surrender and partnership with the Almighty, Eternal, All-Knowing God? As we close this time together, I want to invite you, friends, in open arms. Would you say this prayer with me? Maybe in a way you've never said it before. And then continue to say it daily as you submit yourself to God. Pray with me. Maybe you'll use slightly different words, but however you remember it, let's pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, and yours is the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I just have one other invitation. Perhaps you've been watching today and you've never submitted your will to God. You've lived your own life your own way, doing your own thing. And God's got great purposes and a plan for you. All the riches that you could get in this world, they'll all mean nothing at the end of it all. You need to leave a legacy that's eternal. But to do that, you need to submit your will to God. Would you submit your will to God today? Maybe you've never done it before. Would you ask Jesus to come into your life and be Lord of your life and say that you would submit to him and ask his Holy Spirit to come and live within you? If you'd like to do that, I just want to say a prayer. Maybe you just want to say it with me and then we can close this part of the service out. Dear Lord, I've never submitted my will to you. Maybe you have, but you've gone away from God and you need to come back. Why not pray this prayer too? I want to submit my life to you. I acknowledge that I am a sinner without you in my life, that I've been doing things my own way. I'm saying to you, God, that I'm turning from living my way and I'm turning towards you. I ask you to forgive me of my sin and to come into my life. Forgive me of my sin of not believing in you. I want you to be my Lord and my God. Thank you for accepting me as your son or your daughter. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. If you said that prayer for the very first time today, you'll be given instructions during this service about how you can fill in a Connect card. Why don't you let us know? Go to openarms.ie and look for Connect and just have a look there, and it will show you that where you can say you've made a decision to follow Christ, and someone will be in contact with you. God bless you, my friends. This is not the end. It's a new chapter, a new beginning. We'll see you soon.